Welcome to GVC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Hear interviews and discussions with coworkers, stay informed about GVC news and projects, and catch up on the latest news and happenings at the co-op, and more. Let's get started.
Hey, GVC team. Thanks for tuning into the award-winning GVEC Unplugged podcast. You've got Gunnar Cantu here today, and we're going to celebrate Independence Day with a fresh look at the meaning of the holiday and what it means to be an American. Today, I'm joined by three gentlemen from our IT department: Brian Chongwain, System Administrator; Pratik Shendik, Network Engineer; and Rashab Vora, Network Engineer. All three of them are based out of the Seguin office. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
We all asked you to be here to get a glimpse into your experience living in the U.S. and abroad. We're going to get started. I'm going to ask Brian a question, and we're going to go around the table. Does that sound good to you guys?
Yes.
It's good.
Brian, where were you born?
Oh, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I am Brian Chongwain, originally from Cameroon. That is in Central Africa, precisely from Boyo Division.
Central Africa, wow. When did you move to the United States?
I moved to the United States in 2013, and I've been in Texas since I came to the state, and I really enjoy being here.
And how about you, Pratik?
Hey, thanks for giving us opportunity. My name is Pratik Shendige, and I moved here. I born in India, in the state of Maharashtra. It's a small town, Solapur, and it is very famous for blankets, and I moved to US in 2014 for doing masters.
2014?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Rashab, how about you?
Hello, everyone. I was born in Mumbai, India. Mumbai would be considered as India's New York. It is very similar to New York City, that it's famous for all its tall skyscrapers and hustle bustle. It's pretty much very much the same. Apart from that, we also have our own Bollywood industry. It's a film industry as big as Hollywood. I have been in States since 2014, and I came to the States to pursue my master's as well.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you guys joined us today. I'm going to go around real quick and ask Brian, what led you to want to move to the United States?
The U.S. is a to-go country for most people, let me put it that way. And especially for us coming from the third world country, mostly in Africa, you know, we like, or we have always aimed at, traveling to the United States, in which we can, we know there are better opportunities that we can better ourselves, better our families, and better our communities back home. So one of the main reasons I came here was to empower myself, to be able to take care of the people that look up to me. And I'm happy over the years I have been getting that done.
Nice. It's a great story. And you, Pratik?
So I moved here to pursue my master's. US is considered as a tech hub, and everything starts in a technology like it born in US. So I wanted to be in a part of that technology field and do something in a technology field and while I'm doing master's. So that was the main motto, to get a good knowledge of technology and do something in the same field.
Nice. And Rashab, how about you?
As Pratik mentioned, US is known for its majorly the tech advancements. Mm-hmm. And basically, we all know that Silicon Valley is the hub of technology. So while doing my bachelor's in electronics and telecommunication, I had always this an idea and passion to do something in technology, which kind of geared me towards the States to pursue my higher education and to gain some hands-on experience.
Nice. Brian, you told us why you came to the United States, but was GVEC your first job? And how did you end up at GVEC?
No, GVEC was not my first job. When I just got here, while I was waiting for my documents to come, I had to get into the nursing field. I started as a CNA, where I was working in a nursing home, taking care of the elderly, something I really, it was a pleasure doing that, and I felt important. And after that, I enrolled in college, where I had my degree in computer network systems administration. My first IT job here, you know, I was a help desk analyst. And from there, you know, just looking for better opportunities, I better myself, I learned to become a database administrator, and applied at GVEC, and thank God, you know, I got hired. And SoFi has been a great place. I've been growing progressively in my career, and I see a lot of growth just within the company.
Nice. We're glad to have you on board. And the medical field's quite like the IT field. There's always user error, huh?
That is correct. That is correct.
Prateek, how about you, man?
Hey, this is my third job. When I completed my master's in Cal State Long Beach in California, I worked in Orange County for 1.5 years as a junior network engineer to get some hands-on, and I was an intern there as well for 8-9 months. And then I got an opportunity to work as a network commissioner, lead network commissioner in Hawaii. So I was in Hawaii on Oahu working on the Pearl Harbor for 9 months. I worked there, and then I got opportunity, like Rushabh was already working here, and we were looking for some network engineers. Got to the interviews and very happy to be here. It's 2.5 years now.
That's nice. I'm glad you're on board. Did you guys meet at GVC or before GVC?
No, we used to be in same school in Cal State Long Beach.
It's amazing. I lived in Hawaii. I lived in Kaneohe Bay. Yes.
So
it's great. It's not as expensive as people think. It's 3 times more expensive than people think. How about you, Rushabh?
This would be my fourth job. After graduating, after completing my master's, I started working for a hospital called Montefiore in New York. Mm-hmm. I was working for their IT team. After completing my job over there, later I started working as a contractor for Google and in the Bay Area. And after that, I was working as a contractor again, but for Fandango in Beverly Hills. Later, as my contract was coming to an end, I was looking for new opportunities. That's where I stumbled upon. I came across the opening that we had for a network engineer at GVEC back in 2018, October. And nice. That's when I applied, got through my interviews.
Awesome. Well, like I said, we're all glad to have you guys on board.
Thank you.
IT departments are always the unspoken heroes of every organization. So congratulations and thank you for being part of our family. I want to ask you guys about the process of getting your U.S. citizenship. You know, was it easy? Was it terrifying? Tell me a little bit about the entire process, Brian.
How I got here, it's really interesting. You know, there's a program that the U.S. offers to third world countries. It is called the Diversity Lottery Program, where you just need to apply. And if you are selected, you know, you process your document, you get over to the state, and within 3 months, you have your social security card, you have your green card, and that is just the route that I took. Coming in with the DV lottery, what I had to do was, after 3 months, I got my green card and my social security number. So you have to stay for at least 5 years, and within those 5 years, you need to keep a good background, no criminal records and all of those. So after 5 years, you are eligible to apply for your citizenship, and that is what I did. So after being in the States for 5 years, I applied for my citizenship, which took me, after the application, it took me a little bit over a year to get that citizenship. So it has been really a smooth process for me, because that is how it has been structured. It is worth noting that other people, they use other routes to get here, which might be really complicated. I'm grateful that mine was really a smooth path, and I am who I am today because of that opportunity that was given to me by the American people.
That is amazing. Yeah, we're gonna add a sound effect there, fireworks and all that other cool stuff. So you went the hard way getting your citizenship. You could have just gone on 90 Day Fiance and gotten it taken care of in 90 days. That was a joke. All right. So how about you, Prateek? Was it similar?
Well, citizenship road is a long way for us. I'm just on work visa right now.
Okay.
We're working towards the next process. And don't know, maybe 15, 20 years, I'll get it.
15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Does it take that long, really?
Yes.
Wow. That's
for Indians.
See, I'm clueless on how that works.
That's how it works.
As a work visa?
Yeah. I mean, for a few countries, it's like, very hard to get citizenship. So it's kind of long way, long road for us.
Wow. I did not know that. Well, you're here.
Yep.
Good luck with obtaining the citizenship. We'll circle back in 20 years and see how it all went. And you, Rushabh, same thing?
It's the same. I'm still on my work visa, and being an Indian, it's kind of a tough path being an immigrant and to stay in the States,
mm-hmm.
just so that so there are so many rules and regulations that you need to comply as an individual. And as Pratik mentioned, in order to become a citizen, it's almost 20 to 25 years.
That's crazy. I had no idea. So why is the process so long? Is it United States or is it something on India side?
The process is so long because not only for India, but also for China, mm-hmm. because of the population that has been already been in the States since 1970s. There's a certain quota that the US government decides each year, and those people are allowed to become a citizen hassle-free. And that quota has been way surpassed by Indians and Chinese population. And that's the reason these two countries can no longer partake in the diversity program.
So there's a cap that they placed on, yes. in the 1970s. Is there a lottery system similar to what Brian went through?
That's the same, like the diversity program,
mm-hmm.
but India and China cannot partake it.
Partake in the lottery. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I did not know that. Thank you guys for clarifying that. So you guys go through a longer process than Brian had to go through. What are some of the steps that you guys have to go through?
So the first step, like there was a lot of hassle just to come to US for a master's. I mean, there are millions of students wants to come here and it's very few people gets the visa. And that's the first hurdle of getting F1B visa. And once you are here, you complete your master's and then you next hustle is to get a job. Who will sponsor you H1B visa? And I was so happy and thankful to GVEC for giving that opportunity and giving us the work visa, which is H1B visa. And once you are working on H1B visa, you have to file for a green card application. And that's a long process as well. It takes like a year or 1.5 years to get your I-140. That is kind of like a document which will make sure like you are staying here until you get your green card. Once that's approved, then you are in line for a green card. And if you are at right now, someone who applied 10 years ago, they are getting their green cards right now, if I'm not wrong. And once you get a green card, and then I guess you apply, but I don't know about after that, because I'm still on 10 years wait. But the good thing is once you get your I-140 approved, like the first step or something, then you get your work visa continually renewed after that. So getting that is very important as well.
There's no opportunity for quicker turnaround, though.
Unless you marry someone here.
90-day fiance, I told you guys. Well, like I said, good luck with that process. Yeah. Well, we wish you the best, and we're mm-hmm. glad you guys are with GVEC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to ask you some fun questions now.
Mm-hmm.
Brian's already here. He got all his paperwork, everything situated, so he's living it up over there. You guys are still going through all that stress. What are some of the stereotypes that you guys heard of Americans before you moved here and found out to be true or not true?
One of the things that back home we understand when you go to the US, right? That is the conception that we had, that there is money like on a tree where you can just get up and pluck like those dollars and start doing stuff. So that is what we thought back home. So me coming over to the US, I noticed that wasn't true, because to be able to live that American dream, you have to work for it. There is no tree where you need to go and pluck those dollars from and send back home. And that is, I also try to educate the people back home. Like if I am sending you, if there's anyone in the US sending you money to help you, know that they are actually working hard to get that. That was the main thing that was coming here, hoping that it was going to be very easy, as people have said it, but that wasn't the case. Apart from that, other things that have been said, like I don't want to use the word, people of color, that they don't have equal opportunities. Yeah, that to me is not true. When I was coming, I had that fear. And even before getting into the IT field, some of my brothers and sisters from Africa, men of color, they try to tell me that if you are here, you are not an American, you don't want to get into fields like IT because you'll never get a job. That the easiest thing that you can do is go do CNA or work in a warehouse. That will be easier for you. And like I mentioned earlier, my first route was attempting to get into the medical field. So with that just being said, it is not true, because just as I went into IT, I was able to secure a job, and others, you know, that I have also tried to mentor are also into the IT field today. So that mindset that in the US, if you are not a citizen or if you are not born here, you cannot get into, you know, these white collar jobs is not true. So those are the two areas where I really found it not to be true.
Well, I'm glad you've had great experiences, but like you stated earlier, like I've worked in the startup community before with freelancers overseas and some within the United States. And basically, they have the same mindset. Like I'm still looking for those money trees myself, but I've come to terms, and I teach my children the same thing. Like the harder you work, the more successful you become. So I'm glad you picked that up quickly. How about you, Pratik?
Stereotypes was like everybody there are like skyscrapers and everywhere like planes going around and like you watching movies. And well, landed in LA, and I thought like, well, that's true. I mean, you know. Then I went to Chicago and I was like, okay, yeah. Again, then I went to Hawaii in Waikiki, also same. But once I came to Texas, then I felt like, well, there's a lot of countryside and which I like. I mean, so it's not always the skyscrapers or aeroplanes flying. There are some cows and ducks as well here.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about.
Not just anywhere, Texas. Seguin, Texas.
Yes. Texas. I like Seguin, New Braunfels.
Yeah. So do you prefer like the countryside over the city? That's nice.
Yes.
You, Rashad?
For me, it was again like I landed in LA myself. And
I'm sorry.
I was told that people are very friendly in the States and everything. So I got to experience that into like the initial months of my stay in the US. But again, like after spending some time in the States itself and traveling to different parts, different states and different cities, I got to know its different sides.
I mean, did you have any stereotypes coming in on America or Americans?
I did not, in fact.
No?
No. So I was just like excited to explore more because US was the first country that I have been to. So I was just excited to explore the other part of the continent of the world.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of my friends, acquaintances I know that never been to America that finally get here, they've always commented on how big our portions are at all the restaurants. Did you notice that, like, was that one of the things you noticed?
That's a Texas thing.
Okay. Well, that's a good transition. Appreciate that. So you guys moved to the United States, and then you moved to the greatest state in all of the Union, Texas. What are some odd or great things that you've noticed about living in Texas, Brian?
Texas, to me, like, this is the first, it's to me like home now because I landed in Texas. I have visited other states, I've visited other cities, but behold, Texas is a place to be. One of the major things is, you know, the Texas economy is really, is affordable to live here. Housing is affordable. We have jobs here. We have good infrastructure. Those are some key things. When I talk to most of my friends, let me say in California, I tell them how much I pay for a house, you know, how much I bought a home here. They are really surprised. Like, you cannot afford that in California or Maryland or other states. So I think Texas is good as far as the economy, infrastructure, and job opportunities.
That's great to hear. Your friends realize how great of a friend you are, right? Trying to convince them to move to Texas. They'll all owe you at least 5% of their salaries for that. Pratik, how about you? What are some of the goods and the bads about living
well,
in Texas?
Well, of course, I see only good part here. I mean, I haven't...
Great answer.
I haven't see like a bad things here. Different thing is like the small cup of soda is like, which is like bigger in India. I mean, you know, the cup of soda or the food portions and, you know.
Yeah.
So when you say small cup, it's like the biggest in India. And the bigger is here is like half of tank, you know.
Yeah. I mean, have you been to Starbucks?
Oh, well, I don't.
It's even more confusing.
Yeah,
so.
True.
Tall, grande.
Yeah, so I like about Texas is, as he mentioned, Brian, there's no traffic, and that's why I like about the countryside. You can go to HEB, and HEB is like, you can get the groceries and stuff. Whataburger, I eat only chicken, but still I like their chicken burgers and sweet teas. Sweet tea, that's what I learned to drink after coming to Texas.
Well, I don't know, I mean, about the whole Texas citizenship part, but you're definitely Texan, 100%. But Rashad, how about you?
For me, after moving to Texas, some of the oddities that I came across were like people tailgate a lot.
Tailgate?
Yeah, they tailgate a lot. Yeah. And it was a complete different driving than what I was used to in Southern California.
Yeah. What was the difference between Southern California and here?
People do not kind of keep space or safe distance between cars. And again,
here,
like
Texas,
they tailgate and like they are always in rush to overtake.
That's hilarious. I mean, I definitely noticed a huge difference. I recently moved to this area too, and it, even like 60 miles away, it's completely different. So yeah, that's funny.
The good things, as Brian mentioned, infrastructure is really good. The roads are very neat and wide as compared to other states. Of course, the housing, the gas prices, and they are cheap over here. The only thing that I don't like is the erratic weather. It's not set. I mean, one day it's sunny, the other day it's raining. I don't personally like that.
Have you, I mean, it's the same thing with just like Texas in general. If you go to North Texas, it's completely different.
It's completely different. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So that was something different and coming to us from Southern California.
Yeah. Tell me a little something that you miss about your homeland, Brian.
First, I miss my family because it's been 8 years. I haven't seen my mom, I haven't seen my dad, I haven't seen my siblings. And that is the main thing that I miss. Hopefully, I'm going to be visiting this year, by the end of the year, where I'll be able to see them. Secondly, the food and the culture. You know, we come from a place where our culture is our identity. We showcase our culture all the time. We have cultural festivals that we do. But here in the U.S., we don't have that as a community. When I talk of the culture, it's how we are being, they grow up the kids back home. For example, you know, when you give birth to a child in Cameroon, they say that child is not just yours. That is a community child. So the community is in charge to make sure that that child grows up and be a responsible person. That is why everybody can discipline your child. As long as your child is in the neighborhood, they do something wrong, you know, you can be disciplined. I'll remember a time where my mom is going to whoop me. I'll rush to my neighbor's place. I'll even spend a night there. When they know that I've done something wrong, they'll come and get me, you know, just to make sure that we grow as that one big family. It is really different in the U.S. here because your son, even if they see your son on the street, they're going to call the cops. You know, they feel like that you have just abandoned your child. But in Cameroon, that is a community child. We grow up our kids as, you know, as a community. I have a son now, Braden, and, you know, I'm the only one responsible. If Braden leaves, even in school, Braden does something wrong, the teachers cannot beat him. They cannot really discipline him because of those restrictions. But in Cameroon, behold, they will whoop you and you will understand that what you have done is wrong. You will not do it again. You don't just rely on your parents to discipline you. So that is one thing that I really miss about Cameroon. And the way we grow up, that makes us more united, not just within our family, but with our neighbors, the people around us. With the number of Africans, the number of Cameroonians that are in the U.S., we are also trying as much as possible to see how we could replicate what is happening back home. That is why even today I'm the president of one of our youth wings, youth associations. It is called Comnamite, which is a group of Com young adults. Com actually is like a village, you know, in Cameroon, where I come from. So we speak the same language. We understand ourselves. We have a unique identity. I'm a president of that youth wing today. So most of the time we try to meet and just discuss cultural things, you know, dance and do stuff like that.
Interesting. What do you miss about your homeland?
Okay, team? Cool.
Yeah, I miss my family. As he mentioned, I miss the cultural activities,
mm-hmm.
and I miss my friends. And like he said, it's the same thing in India. Back in India, I don't even know my neighbor who lives next to me. And in India, it's like I know at least I'm my old town. And you're going somewhere, you don't have to care about babysitting or anything. There is no concept of babysitting. It's babysitters there. It's just your neighbors. You know, I'm going here. Hey, take my baby. And they are happy to help. And I don't have kids. That's some differences. I mean, and here, and even in India, like someone cooks something and you smell, you directly crash their house and you eat and they will feel good about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
different. Might get the cops caught on you.
No, I didn't have any bad experiences here. But few things is like family functions and miss my mom and dad's birthdays and their anniversaries, and miss that part.
Rishabh?
Apart from friends and family, I do miss food a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get that kind of food over here, apart from the Indian restaurants. And even like if I'm hungry, or in $8, I can get a 6-inch Subway, something like that. Yeah. But in India, with the same money, I can get a lot to eat and a different variety.
Oh, and then,
like in the same region or a same location where I need to travel in order to eat something that I'm craving for.
You guys all mentioned cuisine from y'all's homeland. What was your favorite dish, Brian?
So my favorite dish is called achu, A-C-H-U. So it is something really nice. It's more like cocoyam, mashed cocoyams, and, you know, soup made out of limestone, you know. So if you Google that, you'll see it is really nice. It's a traditional meal, and you eat that with your hands. Those are some of the things that I miss. And, you know, I believe there are some African restaurants here that are trying to produce Cameroonian food. If you have the time, just look at one. If you're in Houston, Dallas, maybe San Antonio, you can see a place and try it.
I will definitely try it, and I will let you know how it goes, Brian. Your favorite homeland dish, Prateek?
My favorite dish is chicken biryani. It's a chicken and rice and some saffron on top of it and some fried onions. It is really delicious.
Sounds delicious.
Well, I forgot to mention what I miss. Sorry. I miss eating with my hands because I almost forgot. I mean, we never used to use spoons or forks in India. Now, I guess I miss that sometimes.
Yeah. You can still do it here. It just depends where you're at.
No, people will watch at you, judge you.
The Mexican culture, we eat a lot of things with tortillas in our hands too. Yeah. Rashab, what's your favorite?
My favorite dish would be eating pav bhaji. It's kind of mashed potatoes and vegetables and buttered roll.
Sounds delicious. You guys plan on visiting your hometown? Is it possible to visit your homeland right now? And if so, when do you plan on going back just for a visit, Brian?
Yes. So international travel is possible right now. We used to have a restriction, but that has been uplifted. And, you know, with my current status as a United States citizen now, something I'm really proud of, you know, my country does not accept dual nationality. So before getting the U.S. Nationality, I had to forego Cameroonian nationality. So now I am a United States citizen. If I'm going to Cameroon, I need a visa. I need to apply for a visa through the Cameroonian embassy here. And if that is granted, I'll be able to travel. So that is a process. I cannot just get up now and go to Cameroon because I gave up that nationality, you know, to get that of the United States. But yeah, I can get a visa and travel freely because my documents are clear and I'm a U.S. citizen.
Nice. Deep.
Right now, it's not possible for me or Rishabh right now to go back in India because there's a COVID situation. A lot of countries have banned India to travel and you can't come back if you go. So we don't know when that ban will be lift again. So until then, I can't go and my parents can't come here. I went to India 2 years ago. Yeah, and my parents came here once. So I didn't see my parents since last 1.5 years.
Do you talk to them at all?
Yeah, I talk to them every day. I do video call.
Same for you,
Sean? Same for me. And we don't know when the ban will be lifted up. So we are just waiting for the right moment, right time. And once everything is settled, of course, I would like to make some plans. As I visited India in 2017. I haven't been home since then. But I did see my parents in 2019 when they visited the States.
Do you guys have any Brian, do you guys have any relatives that live in the United States, or is it just you?
Unfortunately, I don't have direct relatives, but I have extended family members that are here. So hopefully my mom, she's going to be joining me soon, because as a citizen, I had the opportunity to file for my mom or my dad. I've done that for my mom already, and hopefully she's going to be here by the end of the year, depending on how things go. She's actually in the process of going to the U.S. Embassy in Cameroon for interview. If that is approved, behold, she might come here and I'll see her before even traveling to Cameroon.
Prateek?
Yeah, I have two siblings in the United States. My two sisters. One lives in Washington, D.C. and another lives in Moline, Iowa.
Okay.
So I visit them. They visit me.
I do not have any relatives in the States.
No. Okay. Well, you have Prateek. Yeah. Well, I would like to thank you guys for giving us some time today. I know you guys are on call 24/7, so this was a great break for y'all.
Thank you.
No problem. And we learned so much from you guys today. I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to us. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Prateek. Thank you, Rishabh.
Thank you.
Thanks for giving opportunity. Very thankful to GVC to be here in Texas. And we always appreciate what GVC does for us.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. All right, guys. Is there anything else you guys want to close with? Anything you want to share?
Well, I would like to mention a few things as it is Independence Day. So everybody who born here or who is here, they should be very thankful to the God or whatever they think, you know, thankful to. Because back in my town, I used to have electricity only like 6 hours a day for entire my childhood. So we should be thankful. We have the electricity, water, and food. A lot of people don't have it.
Yeah. We do take a lot of things for granted as Americans. Exactly. And this is basically why we brought you guys on, because we just wanted to hear your stories and how impactful not only GVC, but the American way has been to you guys.
For me, it was not challenging as Prateek, because like I come from Mumbai. It is a metropolitan city. It's a big one. And again, in that one, we used to have like load shedding and shortage of water. So mm-hmm. we had to plan accordingly. But again, like I won't say that there was not any struggle. There was struggle, but in a different way that mm-hmm. Prateek might not have, or I might not have experienced as Prateek.
So as we work for electricity company and people here, if they don't have electricity for hour, I mean, yeah, we have a high standards and yeah. I really like it. That's what I like about the US is we have really, really high standards of living or expectations from each and every person. Mm-hmm. And we try to work toward it. It's just sometimes when people don't have internet for a few minutes or, you know, might be 20 minutes, it's kind of,
they lose their mind.
Yes, and that is, well, they get mad or, you know, mm-hmm. but we try to give everything we can. I mean, but sometimes there are some outages, unfortunately. I maybe through this podcast, people will understand, you know, like 5-10 minutes of some electricity or internet wouldn't hurt you.
Brian, you got anything?
Definitely. So what I would like to say to those are listening, and especially those in the United States, is that we have a lot of opportunities here that we undermine them, because if you grow up in a country like Cameroon where you don't even have food to eat at times, you cannot meet up with 3 square meals, you don't have a credit system where you can go to school and pay when you're done, your parents have to suffer, try to send you to school, and to an extent, you know, they might not even have money to send you to school. You cannot drive a car. That is just for first-class citizens. I'll put it that way. If we are here, let us know that the opportunity we have here, we should not take them for granted. And there are people in other countries that don't have these opportunities, and they are really suffering. I can imagine my community right now, the way I celebrated my dad's 60th birthday was to put together funds, buy food items, call the people around our neighborhood and share it to them, because they don't even have food to eat. Some don't even have clothes to wear. So one of the things I do here is to try as much as possible to support them. And behold, just $10 from the US that I sent to Cameroon is almost 5,000 francs. That can put a meal on the table for a small family for over a week. So I just want to say that the US is a great place. There are a lot of opportunities, equal opportunity for everyone. Let us make use of it and also try to see how we can help those behind, you know, in other third world countries. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that GVC is giving me that opportunity to be able to make something that I take care of myself, take care of my family here, and I'm able to support those people back home. So through GVC, I have funds that I can, you know, support people, and I'm really grateful for that. GVC has been a great place for me. I've met family here, which I'm really grateful. And I hope to be in the company for as long as possible, and why not retire in the company so I can continue to enjoy this brotherliness that I have experienced for the past 2 years.
I appreciate you guys. Those are great and inspiring closing statements. You guys made me feel really good about not only being an American, but working for such a great company. And I'm glad to work aside you guys. So thank you for the time. Thank you for telling us your stories. Good luck to continue our process. And Brian had to take you to a baseball game or something, man.
Yeah, so soccer. I'm a soccer fan. You know, Cameroon is well known for soccer. So here I try to play soccer. That is the only sport that I really get involved in. But if you want me to go watch baseball, oh, that's great. I would do that.
Well, yeah, soccer preferably, but we got to get you introduced to the good old American pastime. So here's to all Americans, current and aspiring. May you all enjoy a happy 4th of July. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or have ideas how we can make this podcast more interesting, email gvecunplugged@gvec.org with your feedback. Be sure to subscribe to GVEC Unplugged Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts to be notified when new episodes are released. Take care of each other, GVEC team, and stay safe until next time.